What's going on, Clipper Nation? It is me, Positive Chuck Mockler. I am sitting in a very small closet in my house recording this post-game pod after we just took down the Spurs, which, you know, after a tough first half, we got it settled down. We ended up getting it done. I'm going to recap the Spurs game. If you're wondering where William the Opinion Updike is, he is lost in the woods of Montana at his brother's wedding. Give him a shout out on Twitter, at Will Updike. Let him know, hashtag, where's Will? He'll be back next week soon, thankfully. I'm going to be recapping the Spurs game, like I said. We're going to get into a preview of the game on Sunday against our, you know, the second go-round against the Jazz in a couple of days, which hopefully we can put one over on them. And then finally, I'm going to talk about the absurdity that is the Pacific Division right now. It seems, I don't know, the wheels have fallen off. Two teams for sure. One team is streaking that I think kind of surprising people. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about some coaching hot seats and the Love, Mary, Kill. It's going to be interesting. No shavings today. Maybe something will come up while I'm doing the pod. But right now we got a recap, a preview, some Love, Mary, Kill. Let's get into it. So the Clippers won at Staples Center 103-97 against the Spurs. Hoo man, if you watched the first half of this game, this was not the most entertaining basketball to be played. The Clippers really came alive kind of right in the fourth. Kawhi carried us this whole game. We're going to get into that. Some stats for y'all real quick. For the Spurs, DeRozan had 29-7. Derek White added 20. No one else had double digits for the Spurs, but Rudy Gay did have 9 points and 12 boards off the bench. We did a fantastic job at neutralizing LaMarcus Aldridge, which I'll get into in the matchups. DeRozan had a great game. He shot 62%, 13 of 21, which is incredible. Added those 7 boards, but did have 7 turnovers, which I think was almost more than everyone else on his team combined. It was close. He had 7. The whole rest of the team had 11, so definitely not good from him. For the Clippers, this was the Kawhi show. This is what all of last year when Clippers fans were talking about needing a number one option. We need someone we can lean on. We leaned on Kawhi tonight. 38 points, 12 boards, 4 steals. He did throw out 1 assist, which was nice of him to do. I mean, this was a mercurial performance from Kawhi. There were some times in the first half when it felt like he could have passed more or was maybe settling for some mid-range jumpers, but in the long run, who cares? This is what happens when you have a guy like Kawhi on the team. Trez, not to be outdone, added 24 points himself on 9 of 11 shooting. That's an 81% clip. He's also 6 of 9 for the line in this game. He's creeping toward that William Updike approved 70% from the free throw line, which is fantastic. You absolutely love to see that. Next highest was Lou with just 12 points. He had kind of an off night shooting-wise. He was 5 of 19. He added 5 dimes, which is nice. Bev had a Bev-ass game, I guess is the best way to put it. 8, 4, and 5, got into a small tiff with DeMar DeRozan, which most people were very excited to see. DeRozan got the foul. It was a good time. We're going to talk about what I liked, what went wrong, some key takeaways. Let's do the good stuff first. What we liked, Kawhi. If you watch this game and you understand why you make, quote unquote, the trade. This really felt, I mean, it was absurd to watch. He's here. He has arrived. He is the best player in Los Angeles. He didn't need 27 free throws to flirt with 40 points. Got it the old-fashioned way. In the fourth quarter is really saw what we really saw Kawhi do. Up until the fourth, Kawhi was obviously doing his thing. He was playing well. The team felt a little sloppy or tight. Doc did blame the poor shooting night for both teams on Halloween, which I have yet to see a better explanation than that one. But in the fourth quarter, he went 7 of 9, and he put it away. He picked this game up. He got in its pajamas. He read it its bedtime story. He made it say its prayers, and he just put it to bed. He put the whole thing to bed. It was, I don't know if terrifying is the right word to watch, because I'm obviously Clippers fan, but, oh man, it's incredible. I am so happy we get to watch him play. He is Kawhi. you know, it's incredible. We're going to add Paul George to this situation. My mind is going crazy thinking about that. It was great. It was fantastic to see. There's going to be more nights like this, which I don't think any of us are prepared for. There's going to be nights maybe he has 12 dimes, one board. Doesn't matter. He's going to contribute. He's going to contribute positively. He ignited the team on both ends, which I'll get into later in the key takeaways. But just a peak performance from Kawhi, an MVP performance, absolutely. You know, it was wonderful. Watch the highlights. Please do. Another thing that I liked, team defense. We were a little, you know, some people a little worried about how everything was going with that. The Spurs were the number two shooting in the league, team in the league. We held them under 100 in this one, which in the modern NBA is difficult to do. Yes, we only scored 103, but holding a team to 97, we're probably going to win most games. Doc had a great quote. I think it was the second game of the season where he said, you know, your offense can lose you games. That's something that can definitely happen. Almost happened tonight, kind of happened for the Spurs. But your defense shouldn't. And our defense did not lose us this game. It was great to see. Aldridge got worked. He put up 2 of 8 shooting when he was on the floor. He played 35 minutes, which that is not a good stat line. I was a little worried that we might get a little punished with him maybe pulling Zoo out on the perimeter or something like that, but it just wasn't working. We game planned for Aldridge perfectly. It was great to see. Overall, the Spurs, they looked like we did in the first half. They looked frustrated. They ended up shooting 45% from the floor and 33% from three, which is not good. Free throw attempts, also, they shot 66%. DeRozan went 3 of 4. DeJounte Murray went 4 of 6. Definitely have to give a shout-out to Derek White. That dude can play. God damn. 6 of 11. 3 of 4 from 3. He did his thing, but no one else really did except for DeRozan. He was wildly efficient, which is really, I think, one of the only things keeping them in this game, paired with our poor three-point shooting, which I will talk about in a sec. But it was good to see the urgency picked up late. Lou mentioned Kawhi's fourth quarter offensive run translates to everyone on both ends of the floor. You know, you see him doing his thing on offense, and then you see those 4 steals that he gets. That makes you want to do more things on both ends. That is the beauty of Kawhi Leonard being on your team. It is wonderful. Another thing that I liked, Mo Harkless and Trez in the third quarter. They were combined 5 of 5 and really, I think, helped make the team believe we could get past the Spurs. Anytime tonight when there would be kind of a, you know, we'd have a 4-point lead or a 5-point lead, the Spurs would just be right there. We could never extend it to anything past that. But it felt like this stretch was crucial for getting our team to believe that, yeah, you know, if we keep these guys at arm length, we can win. Fourth quarter shooting, 50% of as a team in the fourth quarter. A lot of that attributed to Kawhi going 7 for 9. But hey, there's 4 other guys on the court. We shot 50%. This is mind-blowing. We shot 50% from the floor despite going 1 of 8 from 3 in the fourth. Most games you go 1 of 8 from 3 in the fourth, you're getting your teeth kicked in, for lack of a better term. Not this Clippers team. Doc mentioned in the pregame presser, he does not care where points come from. He said he would take 120 points off free throws. Did say it would be terrible to watch, but he'd get the win. This team is not concerned with where points come from. That was something I was worried about last year. I need to relax a little bit about it. If we can still put up these kind of numbers per quarter, I should say. Obviously, as a whole, we'd like more points, but a dub is a dub. We're just checking them off, as Doc says. What went wrong in this game? First half was a slog. No one on either side looked locked in. We had the same amount of assists as turnovers through a quarter and a half, which gets into my next point, which is the backup point guard situation. There's not a lot of distribution at the point. Bev and Lou each had 5 dimes. No one else had more than 2. Kawhi was also not really wanting to pass tonight, which I have no problem with. If you're going to put up 38 and 12, I think most of us are okay with that. But when things were getting stagnant in the first half, it kind of looked like last year when guys didn't really know what to do with the ball and whatnot. But the difference this year is that we have Kawhi. So that was great. Bit of a concern. Shamit's shooting. Doc is not worried, but 1 of 7 from three after what he did in the Utah game, which I believe was 1 of 6, doesn't really feel good. He still has that wrap on his left wrist, which I do want to point out is not his shooting wrist. But I think I'm honestly looking forward to the wrap coming off more than I am about him making shots. The shots are going to come. I believe that. That's just how it works. But it would feel a little bit better if that wrap was off of his hand. Jermichael Green couldn't really get into a rhythm tonight. He didn't attempt a three in the whole first half after having a career high in 3 points made against Utah. I attribute some of that to the ball movement. That was tough. He went 0 of 3 overall, which you hate to see. He did manage 4 points. 0 points, sorry. He did manage 8 boards. So he contributed in that way. He had a steal, but I think he was just tired. Lou said they weren't very fresh, which makes sense. Some key takeaways from this game. Kawhi is Kawhi. I think that's just always nice to see. It's fantastic to have a night where we shoot 20% from three and still get a win. 20% from three, I wouldn't be surprised. Sorry, 19% from three. I wouldn't be surprised if that never happens again this season. We got a dub on what might be the worst three-point shooting night we have all year against a team that was playing at the second-best offensive clip just to us. Feels good. The refs were garbage on both sides. No one really likes that. And the defense is slowly creeping towards what we want to see, I think. It's going to take some time. It will get there. Doc has mentioned in the preseason, you know, this is a new team. He's learning how to coach them. We're still learning. I talked with Matt Chong about this too. Last year was fantastic. We won 48 games. No matter how you look at it, we overachieved a little bit. I don't think it's crazy to think that. I think some people got really caught up in that 48-win team and think, oh, you know, we're a 48-win team last year. That obviously translates to this year. Things can change when you add guys. You know, Magruder is out for the first couple games. Adding Kawhi is a big piece, despite being a, you know, fairly easy to work in piece in theory. But the defense will get there. We just got to give it some time. Again, 97 points to the Spurs is fantastic. And I think we got to chill on the distribution worries. These first 10 games we knew were going to be hard with this scenario. Doc knows it. Everyone knows it. They're trying to figure it out. And I'm the sense of urgency, I guess, is nice to have. But we can't get caught up in being so frazzled about it. We're 4-2. I've said it before on this pod. If we get through these first 10 games with any kind of winning record, it's got to be seen as an overall victory. We're down Paul George. We're still integrating Kawhi. We're learning the kind of the free safety defense stuff. We're at 4-2. We're looking okay. I'm pretty confident going into the game on Sunday, which I'm going to get into right after this break. Let me know how you guys felt about the win. Clipper Nation was kind of losing their minds on Twitter. Some of you guys, just step back. It's going to be okay. Want to give a shout out to Indochino. It's the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. You can start your style up right now with $30 off your total purchase of $3.99 or more at Indochino.com when entering code LOCKEDON at checkout. And hey, after you buy that suit, gamble a bunch of money. You're probably a guy who likes to bet, or girl. I don't mean to be non-inclusive. Probably the kind of person who likes to bet on, I don't know, 15 different games. You pick a 15-game parlay, maybe cross sports. You lose your mind. You'd like a couple of big favorites this week. Parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Either way, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. And wouldn't it feel great to win wearing a brand new suit? All right, we got the Jazz on Sunday. The Clippers will not be practicing tomorrow, which I think makes sense. I'm going to go ahead and assume Kawhi plays in this game. I think that is kind of fair to assume. We need him. I'm also going to assume Patterson starts again. He had a rough night against the Spurs. He went 0-5. He tried to contribute in other ways, which, you know, he had 9 boards, which is good. But I don't know. I think we might see him out there again. People are going to be upset, but, you know, it is what it is. What we need to do well, let's contain Conley. Let's just do that. He went off against us. I think that's going to be fresh in his mind. It will be nice to see Kawhi out there playing the free safety kind of defense that we're going to let him play and have everyone else run. We also, Doc has said this, that he's going to kind of let Kawhi choose what's going to happen in terms of being point Kawhi or being scorer Kawhi, obviously against the Spurs. He was scorer Kawhi, and it worked out great. But I think we need distribution Kawhi more in this game. The Jazz play fantastic defense, and Kawhi, with his kind of elevated sense of passing that he's working with right now, we're going to need that to be elevated to battle them. So I'm hoping he kind of, this is kind of a selfish thing to say, I'm hoping he kind of splits the difference between distribution and scoring Kawhi. It'd be great to see. Like, I would be happy with, you know, a 20-something performance with 8 or 9 assists. And I know I sound absolutely selfish right now asking that from Kawhi against a great defensive team, but it's possible is the only reason I ask it. And we will need it to win. Our guys are going to be much fresher than they were tonight. Excuse me, if you're listening to this on Friday, the game against the Spurs. So that rest is going to be good. Things are going to get shored up, which I'm looking forward to. I also, we got to, let's feed Green. Green's going to be rested. He obviously maybe feels comfortable playing against this Jazz team based on the game earlier in the week. I want to see him and Landry maybe fed a little early. Maybe get Landry. Landry has open shots right now, which is obviously good. It is a situation of shooters just needing to shoot more. So getting him some looks early and just having him see the ball go in. I really don't care if he ends up going to the line to see the ball go in. He hit some mid-range. He hit a random mid-range jumper against the Spurs, which was good. But we need to get those guys going. We need Trez to continue to do his thing in the fourth. He's been fantastic kind of closing out games for us. It will be great to see Mo went 3 of 3 against the Spurs. Really hope that kind of continues on Sunday. Not necessarily the 100% shooting, but the overall positive impact of him. What could go wrong? The third quarter, I think. It was nice to see it not go completely off the rails against the Spurs. But we're going to be at home. I don't think it's going to happen again. If you're new to the podcast, we referred to the third quarter last year as a bathroom break because it felt like the team was still kind of hanging out in the locker room. I don't want to see that. It would feel so good to get a win on Sunday to kind of get a mini streak going, I guess. Perimeter defense needs to be locked in. Our guys, we're doing a better job of it tonight, but not like fighting through screens has been a point of contention for some people on Clipper Nation. I've noticed it a little bit too. It's been not concerning, but you just kind of see the effort there. I think they're going to be ready to go. We can't shoot ourselves in the foot with early fouls from the bench guys. Trez did a good job tonight of not getting in foul trouble, but last time we played the Jazz, he had 3 fouls in 5 minutes. It's just, it's one of those things. Zubats has been great with not fouling. Doc credits his kind of off-season body transformation. He's just stronger. He knows how to use his body more. So keeping our hands to ourselves is going to be clutch. And, you know, I just really hope Shamet doesn't continue to struggle. I talked about that off top of this segment, but it's going to be great if Shamet can get some good things going. Key matchups, Kawhi versus everybody. After what happened tonight to the Spurs, they're going to throw a bunch of looks at Kawhi defensively. I'm assuming there's going to be multiple guys at him. Tonight in the mid-range against the Spurs, there were, I don't know, 2 or 3 Spurs defenders within an inch of Kawhi every time in the mid-range. I don't see that changing against the Jazz unless they want to try and leave Bohan on him, but I just see Kawhi cooking him. I'm really excited to see Kawhi also versus everybody on the defensive end. Doing that free safety thing, kind of nullifying how much Mitchell kills us in the paint and his finishing. I have to give my hats off to Donovan Mitchell. He is very fun to watch. I just wish he wasn't fun to watch, so fun to watch against our team. Zoo versus Gobert, really want to see this momentum carry over from the last time we played. He kind of sunned him. He showed he can play with Gobert. I hope we can get even 85% of what he showed in the first half of that game. Doc seems to have Zoo on this, I don't know if short leash is the right word, because I don't think he's getting pulled because of anything Doc doesn't like that Zoo is doing, but he only had 17 minutes against the Spurs. But I think if Doc sees, you know, if Trez is working, Zoo's done for that period of time, basically until it's not going again. And then if we need the shooting, Jermichael gets put in the five or something like that. So it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on Zoo's minutes kind of throughout the season, but particularly in this matchup with how, you know, the flashes of positivity we saw from Zoo, I'm hoping he gets a little more than the almost 17 minutes he got against the Spurs if things are going well. Turnovers versus the Clippers. First half was crazy sloppy against the Jazz. Shout out Jerome. Can't let that happen on Sunday. I don't think it will with Kawhi in the lineup. He had 7 turnovers tonight. I just don't believe he's going to do that every night. If his distribution is more elevated, we could see maybe not as clean of a game from him, turnover to assist-wise. But everyone else has to take care of the ball better, too. We're coming off a game against the Spurs in which we had, excuse me one second, just 11 turnovers, which is great. Sorry, 4 of those were from Kawhi. If we can keep it around that range, that'd be great. Trez had 3. One of them came from dribbling the ball too much, so I hope he doesn't do that against the Jazz. But if we keep this game tight, which I think we can do, I'm giving another win prediction. It's going to get kind of old, but I think we're going to get the dub. If William, the opinion uptick, was here, he would agree with me. I think we're getting the win. I don't think we'll hold him under 100. I think we're going to probably, it's going to be like what? Like, it's called Buck 19 Clippers, Buck 12 Jazz. Might be kind of similar to the game against the Spurs where it was kind of a bit of a what are we doing? Is Kawhi going to be a distributor? Is he going to be a scorer? But I think we'll get it figured out. I'm saying no bathroom break. Clips get the win. Let me know what you guys think is going to happen in this game. Coming up after this, I'm going to be talking the madness that is the Pacific Division currently, and then a Love, Marry, Kill. So, welcome to Pac Div Talk and Love, Marry, Kill. We do this every Friday. What on earth is going on in the Pacific Division right now? It feels like the whole Pacific Division got put into a snow globe and just got shaken a million times over. Steph is hurt, so the Warriors should tank? Maybe get rid of Draymond? I don't know what they should do. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. They're in, I want to say disarray, but the Kings are also in disarray. The Kings are at a point where their home fans are booing them. They're in a weird quasi-rebuild where they don't really... The Kings being in disarray is a little less surprising than what's going on with the Warriors. Obviously, the Steph injury is a freak thing that is horrible luck. But we got two teams who are not a threat to anyone else in the Pacific Division as of me recording this at 11:46 p.m. on Halloween. The Suns are the third best team in the Pac-Div. Hell, maybe the second if they're playing in Phoenix. The Clips... we look a little sloppy because we got some new guys, but we're 4-2, so the shape of it is there. The Lakers are playing well. AD can definitely hit his free throws, which is good. We have a real top-heavy pack div right now with two teams right at the bottom who are just like not... I don't know if they not if they don't have a direction or something, but it's lunacy. I'm excited it's this crazy. I hope the Suns continue this stretch of positive play. I hope the Warriors can figure it out. I hope the Kings can figure it out. I just want all good things for these Pac-Div teams, because the teams that are doing bad, it's like it almost makes your heart hurt a little bit watching. As much as the Warriors beat the hell out of everyone else in the NBA, the way that it's kind of coming crumbling down is it's just depressing. And the Kings, I didn't think they were going to be, you know, lighting it up exactly, but where they're at right now is it just makes you want to exhale real loud, you know? It's just not good. So for today's Love, Marry, Kill, I'm getting into the seat heat levels of coaches. After the Lakers lost to us the first night of the season, there were some people trying to get Vogel fired, which is lunacy. Kings fans are losing it with Luke. They're booing their home team on the court. The Warriors are out of the playoff race. I don't think anything's going to happen to Steve Kerr, obviously, but I mean, they're not at this rate, they're not making the playoffs. Clay's not coming back. Steph is hurt. It's terrible. Monty Williams, as far as I'm concerned, should just get a lifetime contract for the Suns. Just lock him up for the next 45 years. Vogel, you know, I already mentioned him. He's whatever. Doc, we're at 4-2. People are still mad at him for some reason. They're mad at him for saying that he's going to figure it out and then proceed to try and figure it out. We heard it all preseason. He is still learning this new squad and these new things that's going to happen. I saw someone on Twitter say that he sabotages the team with his rotations. And if you watched last year, that's insane. There were some Avery Bradley minutes we wished we got back, but we came out ahead, 48 wins. Year before that, we put up 42 wins with a team that probably had the business of winning, I don't know, 33? It was incredible. So I think I'm loving the hot seat for... I'm loving the hot seat in a very weird way for Doc, because the people who call for Doc to be fired, it happens every year. I think we were 16-8 or something last year, and people on the Clippers Facebook were calling for Doc because defense rotations weren't good enough and things aren't going on. I love to see this because it is based in nothing. If you've watched this team, especially the last 2 years, even going back to Lob City days, it is based in nothing. He is a top-tier coach. Does he need good players to win? Yes. Every coach does. To win, and I mean in the grand sense in terms of the championship, yeah, he does need a good player to win. And we're winning right now. We're 4-2. It's okay. I'm ruling out Monty Williams from this as well. He is totally fine. I am marrying the Luke Walton hot seat. I'm wondering how much hotter that gets. I'm wondering how much Kings fan are going to blame him as opposed to Divots. They didn't pick up Harry Giles' option, which I thought was interesting. He costs like $1.4 million if they decide to keep him. I don't know why they don't keep him. He might get fired. I am a firm believer in Luke not being a good coach. That Warriors team got him hired, which this is no disrespect to Luke. They hired him. He got hired by the Lakers, and then the Kings brought him in after getting rid of Jurger, which seems a little more baffling now as the season marches on and the Kings continue to struggle a little bit. And I'm killing the Vogel hot seat. I'm killing the hot seat mostly for the reason that he is not the head coach. And no disrespect, but when you're coaching LeBron, you're probably not the head coach. And I feel like his seat was hot from the second that the season started, strictly because Jason Kidd is hanging out, watching everything happen, and saying, I could do this better, I would do this better. It's going to be interesting to see. Steve Kerr, obviously totally fine. He's not going anywhere this season, barring, I don't know, something absolutely ludicrous happening. But yeah, it's going to be... we could see some turnover in the Pac Div this year from minimum one team. If it was two, that would be wild. Maybe if the Suns are still in absolute disarray, they would maybe fire Monty for no reason. I don't know. This is the same team that hired Luka's coach and then drafted DeAndre Ayton. No disrespect to DeAndre Ayton, but who would you rather pair with Luka's coach, Luka or DeAndre Ayton? Guys, that about wraps it up for me. It's a bit of a shorter episode tonight. I hope everyone has a fantastic weekend. On Monday, I'm going to have a recap of the hopeful victory against the Spurs. I think we're getting that fat dub. Let me know if you guys think we're getting that fat dub too. We're going to have the freshies where we're talking about the young guys. Maybe we'll talk about some man mania. He did not play against the Spurs, which I think confused some people, but neither did Jerome, which probably appeased some people. And then kind of just whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. I want to give a shout out to all our new listeners. Thanks for coming through. Welcome. If you have any questions, hit up at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler, at Locked On Clips. We're here to talk. We're here to embrace this insane season that has started. We're 4-2, marching towards the inevitable postseason. Let's keep this momentum going. Let's get that dub on Sunday. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will talk to y'all on Monday.